Well, you may have heard the story about the death of Academy Award-winning actor Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa. They lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Arakawa was many years younger than her husband and was his primary caregiver. He had Alzheimer's disease. The investigation into their deaths revealed she died days before her husband of a rare rodent-borne disease. Now, he died of heart disease and with complications from the Alzheimer's. The CBC's Karsten Knox spoke with Joanne Connors about this. She's a caregiver support coordinator with Caregivers Nova Scotia.
So we know that a lot of caregivers in Nova Scotia, because of our demographics, are senior caregivers, are seniors themselves. Very much like the situation that was going on with Gene Hackman and his wife. And we know caregiving can be an extremely overwhelming experience with dementia because things can change very quickly. Folks can plateau for a while, and then there can be a very steep decline or lots of changes happening. And so we know there's always concern about the caregiver in terms of burnout and overwhelm.
Can you talk more about the ways that the caregivers of people with dementia, are they themselves isolated by the disease of the person they're giving care to?
Absolutely. So dementia is a very tricky cat because sometimes we're not sure what's going on. And at the beginning of people can live with dementia for a long, long time. And we're not always sure at the beginning, is this related to illness or is this just people needing to eat more or, you know, is this low blood sugar or is this, you know, where's this confusion coming from? How come I'm having to repeat things so many times to understanding, oh, this is a dementia. And so this is an illness. All the information and education you can get at the beginning, you know, for the caregiver and for the care recipient as well is very important to understand the trajectory of the illness and the things that can happen. In terms of isolation for the caregivers, sometimes people will abandon caregivers. I've heard folks say very much and be very upset that, you know, their loved one has been diagnosed with dementia and they may have had quite an active social network. But once that starts being communicated, it's almost like people are afraid of catching it. I cannot explain it in a more intelligent way, but they sometimes feel quite abandoned. Folks don't know how to relate to the person with dementia anymore. It's awkward. It's these sorts of things. The person with dementia also is showing signs of confusion sometimes or is very uncomfortable with a lot of stuff going on around them. And so it's just not comfortable. And therefore, the caregiver becomes isolated. Social interaction is not something that the person they're caring for is comfortable with. And so therefore, they're tapping out of that. It's a coming and going kind of thing. People can abandon them and also the folks withdraw into their families, into their situation, and into the care, the level of care, which is very, very heavy.
Given that the caregiving is so demanding, mm-hmm. and I can understand if you're taking care of someone who needs a lot, it demands a lot, what can caregivers do to maintain connections, those social connections themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of talk about dementia-friendly communities right now around the world, actually. And I know in Nova Scotia, there's a big movement. We have a lot of community events happening around dementia. So dementia cafes and stuff like that, which are social places where people can come together, knowing that there may be some folks there that will repeat themselves. However the person shows up with the dementia is okay, because we understand that and we make space for the person with dementia. So creating those sorts of spaces is very important because that also gives a space for the caregiver to socialize or to talk to other caregivers about what's going on. Because when you know, you know. And it's very hard to articulate some of these things to people who don't understand. And also support groups are very important places because then the caregiver doesn't have to explain the whole story and all the details, which they often have to do, which is exhausting. You know, some caregivers have said, I wish I had a tattoo on my head that said, I'm a caregiver, so that, you know, people will understand they need space or it may be hard or they may have to get up and leave in a situation. So it's very important not to lose sight of our friends and family who are caregivers to someone who has an illness like a dementia, because they need that support as well.
We don't know the whole situation with this particular example of mm-hmm. a couple who passed away, mm-hmm. but people are surprised that when they were found, their bodies weren't found by family. They were found by people who were coming to work on the property. And it suggests that they were very isolated from people because they certainly had family. And it adds this layer of sadness, I guess, to this whole story.
Absolutely. Well, families are scattered all over the place. That's just the function of our society right now. You know, my children are all over the place. And if anything would happen with us, we would be left to our own devices. We would not want to put the weight of what's going on our children either, because it's distressing. I don't know what the particular dynamics are, but, you know, dignity and those sorts of things are important. And caregivers are often the champions of preserving the dignity of the person that they're caring for as they get into advanced stages of dementia. Just protecting and valuing and supporting the person with dementia in itself can be isolating, because we don't want to put them in situations that are going to cause them distress. We also don't want to cause distress to our family members that may not be adjacent to us geographically to be able to help. And so, you know, out of sight, out of mind happens a lot. I encourage people to connect with their parents and grandparents or loved ones, especially when they're caregivers, because that is huge. And they will probably not reach out because they are exhausted and dealing in the everyday 24/7 care. And that's just one more thing for them to do, is update the family on what's going on. And sometimes that's just one more thing in the list of all the things in the day to do that is, it drops off the end of the list.
Joanne Connors is a Caregiver Support Coordinator with Caregivers Nova Scotia. And if you want more information from Caregivers Nova Scotia, they're at caregiversns.org. And they have more than 30 in-person support groups across the province and ones available virtually as well. And that number is 902-421-7390.